Aaron David Miller, I'm a distinguished scholar at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars, former advisor to Republican and Democratic Secretaries of State on Arab-Israeli and Middle Eastern issues. Well, right now, there is no way to imagine. Well, you can imagine it, but there's no way to produce a solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict for three reasons. You do not have leaders on either side that are willing and able to pay the price of what a deal would cost. The urgency that is required to motivate these leaders to change their current positions is not severe enough. And you don't right now have a third party that is able to be fair enough, tough enough, and reassuring enough to both sides to actually broker a deal. So I suspect, sadly, that this conflict is going to go on for a good deal longer until several of these components become part of the picture. And right now, there's just so much uncertainty in the region, with a focus not on Arab-Israeli negotiations, but largely on the Iranian nuclear issue and on Syria, that it seems to me hard to imagine, and an American election, of course, hard to imagine refocusing on these issues anytime soon. Turkey has already proven several things. Number one, Turkey and Indonesia are the only two predominantly Muslim countries that have managed to create a relatively smooth transition and to emerge as democratic polities, number one. The Turks have also managed to create enormous credibility, even before their meltdown in the relationship with the Israelis, both with the Arabs and the Israelis. And overcoming the Ottomanist legacy in the region was not easy to do. Now, Turkey has many difficulties, both external and external, and the issue of Syria, obviously, is one of them. I mean, Turkey's whole policy of, I don't know what the Turkish expression is, but the no enemy policy, or we want to be loved by everybody policy, has clearly broken down. The invest Syria was to be the centerpiece of this policy, and Turkish-Syrian relations actually were quite warm and getting closer. But with the meltdown of the current situation, and at some point the fall of the Assads, Syria has presented a very difficult situation for the Turks, both internally, humanitarian refugee flows, the issue of the PKK. I mean, the Turks have a serious problem. I mean, they're not the only state that confronts a national minority seeking to more decentralization, even independence, particularly when that minority, at least at part, is represented by an organization that is violent and will continue to attack Turkey when it's suitable, when there's an opportunity. So I think Turkey understands now better than ever the limitations of a policy based on trying to be loved by everyone. Nonetheless, I would argue to you right now that there are four serious countries in this region right now: Iran, Turkey, Egypt, and Israel. Four countries that maintain the capacity to maintain internal stability and also project their economic, political, and military power abroad. I don't know. I mean, I'm not denying the power of religion. I'm not suggesting that it can't become a profoundly important force for good. I mean, look at the comfort that it's provided billions of people in the world. But when it comes to politics, it's a much different matter. And I think it's a much more complex matter. Look, in the end, these conflicts will be resolved when a balance of interests is maintained. That is to say, when it's no different than a good marriage, a good business proposition, or a good friendship. It has to be based on a balance of interests. Yeah. That is to say, each party needs to get what they need. They have to have the requirements met, whether it's a negotiation over the ultimate status of Jerusalem, whether it's a deal between Israelis and Palestinians, whether it's a way to resolve the terrible sectarian conflict that now consumes the Syrian, or what's left of the Syrian state, or in Egypt, whether it's a way to ensure that in a predominantly Muslim country, the rights of Christians and other minorities and women are not just protected. You see, the issue is not just the notion of people of the book, you know, in Arabic, Ahl Kitab, is really not, it's a limited notion because it assumes protection in exchange for good behavior, subservience. And this is a very intriguing question. I'm not holding up America as the virtue. We have many problems in this country and many imperfections. But we have a degree of freedom here, which allows for freedom of conscience, and even though it took us a civil war and 150 years later, we are beginning to grapple with the issue of race in America. We have an African-American president, which is quite remarkable. I would submit to you that no other democratic state in the world to this day could have done what we did, which is to elect a member of a group that is still despised by millions of Americans. I mean, Barack Obama's wife is a direct descendant of slaves. According to the new genealogical studies I read, he may be as well. So this is quite extraordinary. So equality means not just protected status. It means allowing people not just dignity, but equality under the law, and then acceptance of that equality. Turkey, I think, has a chance to do this. It's a modern secular state that tries to balance its respect for democracy against longstanding traditions. Now, you obviously have problems. The current government has problems with and there are serious issues with respect to journalists in Turkey and how free they are to criticize the government. This is an extremely important point, because this must exist in a free society. It really must.